May the Lord speak to us more. Lord, reveal more of your word to us through the book of Isaiah. He spoke this word. What Isaiah said and prophesied over 2,600 years ago it relates to us today. This proves that God's word is living. It will never be old. It applies to us and is valid for us today as it was then. And we really need to open our mind and throw away all the things that we have known before, to think that it's the Old Testament and it doesn't apply to us today. And I've said many times, we cannot name this portion of the word as the Old Testament. The Old Covenant is a covenant that he made with his people at that time, because God wanted to deal with them according to the law. And he who lived according to this law would live, and who did not would be stoned, would be punished. This was the Old Covenant. And the New Covenant today is not based on the law, because through the law, no one will be justified. Because it's proof to us that we cannot make it alone by ourselves. No one can be justified through the works of the law. You may keep one part of the law, but you will break another part of the law. So the Old Covenant, praise the Lord, it's gone. It's past. But from Genesis to Malachi, that's not the Old Covenant. That is the Holy Scripture. It is the living Word of God. And what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. And at that time when the word was written, there was no so-called Old Testament. It was the Holy Scriptures from Genesis to Malachi. And what did he say? All scripture is God-breathed. And his breath is the Spirit of God. The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. So, praise the Lord. We have to really clearly recognize this. Otherwise, we would think that only this small portion of the Bible is relevant for us, and that we can throw the rest away. That would be a shame. It would be a huge mistake to do that. And as the Lord said, every iota, every word will be fulfilled. What word did he mean by this? everything that the books of Moses said, that the prophets said, they were all written concerning him, even the Psalms. In Luke, the Lord said that the books of Moses and the Psalms and the prophets, they speak concerning me. Is that not wonderful? It is not the old covenant. It is the living, effective, and operative Word of God. And this is what we see in Isaiah. Every chapter is relevant for us. Do you think you don't need a physician? Are you not sick? Well, maybe you only have a stuffy nose. Our heart is deceitful above all things. Only He can really search the hearts and the minds. And He is the only one who can give you the right diagnosis. And as He was on this earth, everything that was hidden in the hearts of man was revealed. They couldn't hide it. It says, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. That's why we should really be careful what we say, even at home. Everything that comes out of our mouth, or our speaker, like a loudspeaker, or an amplifier, this reveals what's within us, what we think, and what is in our hearts and fills us. What is in your heart, it's hard to contain within you. It will eventually come out. What does that mean for us? That means our heart is sick. We say many useless, idle words. Why does He say, do not let any corrupt word proceed out of your mouth? And if it comes out of you, where does it come from? Just from your tongue? We really need healing. We need inward healing. And as Jesus came to the earth, He healed so many sick ones. And that was only an outward sign to show us that we are truly sick. But the root of all these sicknesses within our hearts is the sin within us, in our being, in our flesh. That's why Paul says it's not I who have done all these things, but it is the sin that dwells within me. That's why he says, oh, wretched man that I am. Or what a sick man I am. Yeah, if you're sick, then you are wretched. But outward sicknesses are what we feel. But this inward sickness is even more poisonous, more deadly. And this is what is hidden in our deepest part. And for this we need Yahweh Rofika, the one who heals us, the Lord our physician. And this is what the prophets already told us concerning the Lord. I need healing. I need healing, and you need healing, and we all need healing. And that's why it is good, as Paul said, to also say, oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Praise the Lord. And every chapter speaks so clearly about our current situation. These are wonderful, healing, and healthy-making words. These are the words that we need. And that's why among us Christians today and believers, there are so many problems. In the last 2,000 years, there have been so many issues, and history has proven this, that even if we are born again, and even if we have received forgiveness, that doesn't mean that everything's okay with us. Otherwise, John wouldn't have had to say, do not love the world. Ah, who doesn't love the world? Raise your hand. I know there's only one who does not love this world. Oh, this is wonderful. We really need a lot of healing and working within us of the Lord in our hearts. That's why it's healthy for us to recognize this and to confess this, Lord, heal me. Isaiah gave us a long list of sicknesses from which we need to be healed. And in chapters later in the book, he says, our righteousness is like a filthy rag. Sometimes you think, oh, I'm definitely right, but later you realize you were wrong, that it was incorrect. Then what do? It's not that easy if you've already inflicted much damage. If the damage relates to you alone, then it's not that bad. But if this damage relates to and affects the saints, then, oh Lord, then your responsibility before the Lord is great. Therefore, he who leads, he must be careful. He must have fear before the Lord, because if not, you will do many things that will lead many astray. And then, at the end, what did the Lord say? He will cut off the head and the tail. Oh, Lord Jesus, we have to see all of this. And let's now continue to read. Isaiah was also someone who liked to sing. He composed a song concerning the vineyard. If people do not like to hear the truth anymore, then the best way is to sing them a song. Maybe it's more effective. Yeah, I think when he got to this point, it wasn't only difficult for the people, but also for the prophet Isaiah. It's not that easy. Let us sing this song. Well, we have no music or notes. Maybe someone should put it to song. Let's read it together. Isaiah 5. Now let me sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. Amen. 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 Yeah. Amen. Verse 7. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry for help. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. I think this song says everything. Is this not our story? He says, judge. He said, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. So you are now judges this morning. You should judge. What can we say? Who's right? Of course, the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Let me sing to my well-beloved. This shows what a love Isaiah had for his wonderful Lord.
Wie ist
What is your fellowship like? What is your relationship to Him like? We are speaking about love. It is good, of course, to speak concerning this love. But love without light, that doesn't work. John speaks to us about life. And concerning life, there is God's light. And then God's love. These two things always belong together. Light without love is not good. But love without light also leads to corruption. That also doesn't work. There are people who love to just speak about love, love, love. But this will really lead to corruption. But if there's only light, 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 then he has a hammer in his hand. And will hit you on the head. That also doesn't work. We need, on the one hand, light, but on the other hand, we need the love of God and not no human love. We are not speaking about human love. This love of which we speak is God Himself, because God is love. Amen. But praise the Lord. God is love. And His love is not just love, but it is always mingled with His light. Because God is righteous. He does not only have grace, but He has it with righteousness. Truth and grace also belong together. This is what we see in the Word. You cannot speak only about grace and not have truth, because then I don't know where you'll end up. If people only speak about grace, grace, grace without any truth, that's dangerous. It is not good. That's why when the Lord came, He was full of grace and full of truth. He was so balanced. If we are not balanced, then we will go into an extreme direction. Then you'll end up somewhere alone on an island somewhere near South Africa. We need the truth. Praise the Lord. These elements belong together. They're, one cannot exist without the other. And this is so important to see and to lay hold of this in our Christian life. Praise the Lord. Righteousness and peace. This is also another pair. Everything comes in pairs. Praise the Lord. And here we see, even though Isaiah spoke so much concerning righteousness, still, in this wonderful song, there is it's emotional. You can only sing from your throat. You have to sing from your heart. Jesus, our dear bridegroom, do you sing this from your head or do you sing it from your heart? So here we see that Isaiah had a true relationship of love to this living God. And here, this shows that if there's someone who truly loves God, he will certainly also be one who is righteous, who will stand for the truth. Why? Because the Lord said, he who loves me, he will also keep my word. This is the proof, evidence. You cannot say that you love the Lord and that you just do everything that's completely the opposite. You cannot keep offending someone that you love. You often do things that are against him and that are not well pleasing to him, and then you say, Lord, I love you. Do you think the Lord will be happy about this? He will not accept it, no. Our God is not a God who accepts just anything and everything. That's why he says, a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. Praise the Lord. This is wonderful. Learn to not only call the Lord your Lord, but to call him your beloved. Beloved, dear bridegroom. The Song of Songs are also an example to us. Shows us the relationship between Christ and his bride. It is for sure a relationship of love. This point is very important, because if you love the Lord and you give him the first place in your heart, you will, if you don't have this in your heart, then you will not do what pleases him. You will do what pleases you. You will have no seeking heart to seek what he really desires. But often, we will commit the sin of presumption. And praise the Lord for this true relationship of love to the Lord. If we have this love for him, then you will also keep his word. And you will love righteousness. Why? Because the one whom you love is a righteous Lord. Praise the Lord. We always say that we want to be transformed into his image, conformed to his image. But what is this image? Just outward beauty? No. This is the wonderful characteristic of our Lord, of his humanity. This is maybe a side note here in this song, but it's very important. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. It's wonderful. When the Lord brought his people out of Egypt and brought them into the good land was very fruitful. Fruitful. But later, as the children of Israel pursued their idols and were rebellious and didn't even pay attention to God anymore, then they were brought into captivity. Then the land was no longer fruitful. but was under the curse. Do not think that God will not carry out such judgment. Yeah, and remember what the Lord said in John 15. The Father, who is He? He is the vine dresser. Are you sure? You think God really likes to work in a vineyard? Do you like to do that? No. Where's Marcos? Where's our brother Marcos? He has experience. Ask him. It's hard work. Really hard work. You have to be diligent. The most important aspect of the vineyard is not just that it looks nice, but it's the fruit, the grapes. And if we don't prune away and cut away all the extra things, then these little branches will compete with the bearing of fruit. Am I right, Marcos? So do you prune a lot, cut away a lot? Are you not a branch in the vine? Amen. Who is a branch in the vine? All of us, of course. Do you like to be pruned? To be cut? Or does the vine dresser prune you a lot? The vine doesn't have feet, but you have feet. If you see that the vine dresser comes with his scissors, what do you do? This is our experience indeed. But if you love the Father, as the Lord was on this earth, did He walk away? Had the Lord walked away just because difficulties came to Him, do you think He would have said, no, 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 I'm not yet ready? Do you think then salvation would have been accomplished for us today? So, we don't only want to bear good grapes, we want to bear the best grapes, the best fruit for the Lord. Or, are you ready? Ready to be sanctified, to be made holy, to be pruned? There's so many things that are extra within us. We have to be pruned. It's not that easy. The teaching, that's clear. But when it comes to our experience, then we all walk away. We have so many reasons, so many excuses. I have to do this. I don't have time. I have to go there. And I have to bury this. And then I have to go on vacation. Oh, and when I come back from vacation, then, oh, we have so many excuses, really. We all have excuses. We all walk away. So, oh, Lord Jesus, in this first stanza of the song, in the song that Isaiah sung, he said, my beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. And then the ground is fruitful. We have to see this. The ground has to be fruitful for it to be really fruitful. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. The life that the Lord gave us in our spirit. Is the eternal life, is the life of God Himself. This is wonderful. And we are these branches. Remember John 15. We don't need to read it, right? Because I think we all know it. We all know the verses in John 15. He built a tower in its midst. There's a tower there where everything can be observed. This is very nice because the Lord has already foreseen everything. And He also made a wine press in it. Wine is for enjoyment. And who should enjoy it first, if not the vine dresser himself? We are not the ones to enjoy it first, but our beloved Father. And that's why the scripture says, the first fruits belong to me. It's very clear for you now, or? I don't think we have to explain much more. All the first fruits belong to the Father. And that's why we have all begun to learn to bring the first fruits to the Father for His enjoyment. Praise the Lord, this is wonderful. But you will only do this if you love the Father. Some people say that they love the Father, but they forbid us to bring the first fruits to the Father. You think that's good? No, not at all. It's really not good at all. Amen. So the Lord expected it to bring forth good grapes. He says He expected it with longing. This is what God wanted. Of course, an owner of a vineyard, every owner of a vineyard dreams of receiving good grapes. So that he can have the best wine. But it brought forth wild grapes. So is this a happy song or a sad song? The first few sentences, they were good. The last sentence of this stanza is pretty sad. Wild grapes. They're not just bad grapes. They're even poisonous grapes. It can be, the Arabs call these wolf grapes. Poisonous grapes are called wolf grapes. If you swallow it, then you're sick. How is it possible that if he cleaned up the ground and planted it with the choicest vine and did everything and put a tower in its midst, there are overseers? Are you an overseer? It's not good to be an overseer who does not fulfill his service of overseeing. It's not good if he's there sleeping in the watchtower. Lord Jesus, then at the end, he will not only be greatly disappointed, he will be wrathful. And we see this, that it's happened again and again, group after group. We see this quite often. Why? You think it's God's problem? Do you think he thought it was the choicest vine, but it was not? What's the cause? Think he's the cause? You think it's the devil's fault? Or is it the serpent? He's pointing at his flesh. No wonder the Lord told the Jews at that time, especially the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priests, he told them that they are brood of vipers, a brood of vipers. Because this poison of the serpent, of the viper, it came into our arteries, into our veins. Oh, Lord Jesus, and that's why if we don't let ourselves be worked on by him, to be pruned by him, if we're not ready to be cut by him, there's a circumcision in the word. That means the flesh has to be cut off. The old man has to experience his death every day. It's not once for all. Of course, on the cross, it was done once for all. But in your experience, it has to be experienced daily. Yeah, if you don't have this experience on a daily basis, then at the end, wild grapes will result. Have you been crucified with him? Have you died with him? Okay, well, then you have no more flesh. You're outstanding. You're an excellent brother. And your name is also very nice. Johannes. Elijah. Ah, there's no better name. He's a perfect young man. Because you died with him on the cross, right? You see? There's the other side too. So the reality that was accomplished by the Lord on the cross, we need to apply it every day in our life. Because if not, this teaching that you have died with him will not work. That's why, as Paul said, he says, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. This was not a teaching or doctrine for him. It was his reality. He really had this reality to say that for me to live is Christ. And in Philippians, he says he wants to lay hold of him even more. And he says that he has not yet apprehended. And if we are not diligent to work with him, and if we're not ready to be pruned by him, and to listen to the anointing within us, and if we say no when the anointing says yes, then we have really missed the opportunity to be healed by his anointing. We have to really look upon the Lord. You may think you have the teaching, and then you may say you are an exemplary church. But the only thing you have to show forth is your flesh. Wolf grapes. It's quite sad. We all have to learn to sing this song.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, we really have to see through so that we can judge correctly. Some people are not even reasonable anymore. They cannot even judge anymore. They cannot discern anymore. They can't even decide and discern between the lie and the truth. They trust what they have seen with their eyes and their ears, and they can no longer discern. It's really a shame. But everyone has to judge for himself. Then the Lord, through Isaiah, said, "What more could have been done to my vineyard? Tell me, what more can God do for you? Should the Lord come again and let himself be crucified again? That would be awful. I think one time is good enough, suffices. It's once for all. But once for all does not apply to your experience. Your experience has to be one that is daily. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Even God himself could not do any more. Can you imagine that, even though he's God? Don't we believe that with God all things are possible? We love to quote this verse, right, brother? With God all things are possible. Oh, but by his vineyard it's not possible? Why? I want to tell you. Because God requires our cooperation. If you don't want to, God cannot do anything. God did not make robots. If I'm a robot, and God sits there on his throne, it's not like there are buttons on his throne and that he presses a button and then I put myself into place and say, "Yes, sir, what should I do?" That would be easy. Then there would be no wild grapes or wolf grapes that come out. Do you want to be a robot? Of course not. God also does not want such people. He doesn't want to create such people, but he created us with a free will, with a mind, also with a heart that has the capability to love. We can choose. We can say no. Our God is great.
Nur diese kleinen, engherzigen Männer verlangen das.
Only us, only people who are so narrow in their hearts would say, you can only do what I say, and if you don't do what I say, then I cut you off. And then at the end, I have become the vine dresser. But God is not like this. Look how many people there are on this earth who even curse God and nothing happens to them. Oh, but if you say something bad towards the elders, or you just say no, then, oh, you have a big problem. How often do you say no to God and nothing happens? What? Some people say, what, you think God will judge me? There will be thunder and lightning? No, nothing will happen. But instead of good grapes come wild grapes.
Oh Herr, was könnte er noch tun? Warum?
What more could have been done to my vineyard? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? Only wild grapes, not just some wild grapes. And now, please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. What do you think he will do with his vineyard? I will take away its hedge. Do you think God is so gruesome? What do you think, brother? It's written here, yeah. But do you believe it? Yeah. With time, I have come to agree and believe it, that it can be done. Isaiah has really convinced us that this is possible. Not only in the time of the Old Covenant did God do this, but today he will also do it. Didn't the Lord say that he will cut off the branches that do not bear fruit and will throw them into the fire? But the Lord confirmed this. It shall be burned and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug. Oh Lord, but there shall come up briars and thorns. At the end, in the vineyard there will be only briars and thorns, meaning it'll be full of the curse. The first time that the land brought forth briars and thorns, it was after the fall of Adam. That was the first time the land was cursed. Instead of blessing, there was cursing. Do you think this can't happen to the vineyard? Oh, Lord. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. God did everything in a positive way to his vineyard so that it would bear good grapes, but then it brought forth wild grapes. And even when it brought forth wild grapes, he did everything to his vineyard to take out everything so that it would be fully destroyed. What God does, He does in a very thorough way. The Germans say, if you're going to do something, then you might as well do it in a very thorough way, completely. Amen. At the end, we just have to say amen. Yeah, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are His pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold, oppression. Isaiah is quite a poet. And not everything was correctly translated. He looked for justice, but behold, oppression. In German, the words for justice and oppression sound very similar. They rhyme even. For us, it sounds similar. But behold, yeah, for righteousness, but behold a cry for help. Amen. We have to learn this song. And I hope that we will not only learn according to the teaching, but we also want to give the vine dresser this vineyard that will bear forth good grapes. Praise the Lord. Don't we all have this wonderful desire? And that's why we have to work with Him. Amen.